Throughout three millennia, God's people have dearly loved the Psalms. The Psalms cover the whole range of human circumstances and emotions, anger and peace, sorrow and joy, despair and praise, fear and security. So let's return to browsing in the Psalms. And today, we come to Psalm 27, where we find God's balm of confidence for our brokenness of fear. So let's turn to Psalm 27. If you're using the Church Bible, you'll find it on page 393. Most scholars think that David is writing Psalm 27 while he is fleeing from his son Absalom. Absalom has usurped David's throne, has assembled a vast army against his father, and David finds himself at war with his own son. What a broken family. So much of what David holds dear is threatened. His throne, his life, his son's life. It is a situation primed to engender fear. How will David respond? Let's find out. Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advanced against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me. Answer me. My heart says of You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Be merciful to me. Answer me. My heart says of You, seek His face. Your face, O Lord, I seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father, my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me Your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. God's word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of a troubled world, in the midst of a 24/7 news media that gurges forth stories that engender fear, in the midst of the anxious situations of our own life, we come to you. We ask, Lord, that we might experience this morning your word in action to give us confidence in fearsome situations. In Christ's name, amen. You're a student, and you've studied hard for the test. I mean, you've gone over the material diligently. Oh, there's so much that you have to know. You arrive in the classroom, you sit down, and the teacher distributes the test. And as you glance at the test, your stomach balloons into your chest, and your heart leaps into your throat. These questions are hard, and you don't know the answers. The icy grip of fear paralyzes your brain. The mechanic calls you. Your car is in a lot worse shape than you thought. The repair will cost $780, and where are you going to get that kind of money? Yeah, you need to get your car back on the road, but you also need to feed your children. How are you going to make it financially? The red ink bleeds fearfully. From nervousness to apprehension to sheer terror, we all experience fear. It's a common human emotion. New husbands, new mothers, and new employees experience the nervousness of inexperience. That day that you say, I do, the day you bring your new baby home from the hospital, the first day walking into your new place of work. There's that nervousness of inexperience. We feel fear when we are threatened. We experience apprehension when we feel out of control. And we experience anxiety when we face the unknown. The mice of fear gnaw at the fabric of our hearts when we cannot peer into the darkness of an unknown future, or when someone else hears the skeleton in our closet rattle its bones. And so the question before us this morning is, how can we replace fear with confidence? Psalm 27 gives us the answer. As we turn to the first few verses of the psalm, we see first, let's look confidently to the Lord. If we want to replace fear with confidence, we need to look to the Lord with confidence. Verse 1, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David is facing an army coming against him, being led by his own son. He's facing the darkness of the shadow of death. But the Lord is his light. He's facing an army arrayed against him, but the Lord is his deliverance. So, whom has David to fear? As David's light, as David's deliverance, the Lord is the stronghold of his life. The Lord is David's rock solid refuge of confidence. So even in his fearsome circumstance, even when a vast army is arrayed against him, David can affirm, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, who's going to stumble and fall? Not me. They will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be what? Confident. Confident. And so as his rebellious son sends an army against him, David's not consumed with fear. David replaces fear with confidence because he's looking confidently to the Lord above him and not to the army in front of him. We can replace fear with confidence when we look not to the situation that's engendering fear, but to the Lord who's in control of every circumstance. So let's look confident to the Lord, our rock solid refuge of confidence. Let's look confidently to the Lord, our deliverance. And let's look confidently to the Lord, our light. And be not afraid of our circumstance, but lift our eyes above the circumstance to the Lord who rules over all, our stronghold, our salvation, and our light. When I was growing up, a woods of about an acre and a half separated my backyard from my best friend's backyard. And I would often walk through the woods to go to my friend's house. And that was fine. Except at night. The woods were scary at night. In the dark. In the woods. In the dark. You could not hear a thing. Except for that twig snap. What's that? Every little sound caused a heart to skip a beat. But when you think about it, darkness does not really exist. Think about it. You can't bottle up darkness. You can't package it and sell it. Darkness does not exist. Darkness is really only the absence of light. So when you think of it, darkness is nothing. It's simply the absence of light. Why be afraid of nothing? Why be afraid of the dark? It doesn't exist. You see, where there is light, there can be no darkness. So, walking through the woods at night, I would carry a flashlight to dispel the darkness. Now think of it. There's no such thing as a flash dark. Anyone here have a flash dark at home? No, you don't. I'll talk to you later. I've got one for sale. There's no such thing as darkness, so there's no such thing as a flash dark. Darkness is merely the absence of light. So there's no flash dark to dispel the light. There's only a flashlight to dispel the darkness. Christ is the everlasting light who shines to dispel that non-existent darkness that we fear. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we can replace fear with confidence by looking to the Lord, our light. Now, let's not merely look at the light. Let's look along the light. C.S. Lewis writes of his experience standing in a dark tool shed. And a sunbeam was shining through a little crack right at the top of the door. Now, everything else in the tool shed was pitch dark because everywhere else in the tool shed there was the absence of light. But there was that beam of sunlight coming in through that crack in the door. Now, when Lewis stood to the side and he looked at the light, he saw the beam of light coming in, and he saw all kinds of dust particles floating around in the light, but that's all he saw, looking at the light. Just the sunbeam and the dust. But then when Lewis moved in front of the door, so that he was standing in the sunbeam, he saw something entirely different. Looking along the light, standing in front of it, through the crack in the door, he saw the leaves of a tree outside. And he even saw the sun, the source of the light. Because now he was no longer looking at the light from the side, he was looking along the light from the front. And looking along the light gave him a very different vision than looking at the light. When we're afraid, let's not merely look at the light. Let us stand in Christ, the light, and look along the light. Then we'll see the source of the light, our Lord. We'll see the Lord our salvation. We'll see the Lord our stronghold, our rock solid refuge. And confidence will replace our fear. So how can we replace fear with confidence? We look along the light, not just at the light, but along the light. Standing in Christ, looking straight at the sun, a rock-solid refuge of confidence. Now, as we lift up our eyes, we also bow down our knees. So in order to replace fear with confidence, let's also pray confidently to the Lord. David prays for God's presence, first of all. God's presence in the midst of the attack. Verses 4 through 6. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, because that's where the presence of the Lord is. I want to dwell in the Lord's presence, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, like right now, He will keep me safe in His dwelling, in His presence. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle, set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. See, the presence of the Lord, the sense that God is with us, banishes fear and elicits praise. So when we're afraid, where do we go? To the Lord, into His presence, to seek Him in prayer. And so we read, one thing I ask of the Lord. One thing. Not so hard, is it? One thing. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, all the days of my life. To gaze at the beauty of the Lord, looking along the light, and to seek Him in His temple. In the presence of the Lord, we're safe in the day of trouble. In the presence of the Lord, confidence replaces fear. David prays that he might stand in the presence of God. And not only that, but David also prays for God's deliverance. He prays for God's presence and then also God's deliverance from his enemies. Verses 7 through 12. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Remember, Lord, you've been my helper. I remember the times past when you helped me. Good strategy for banishing fear. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother, in this case my son, forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors, this army arrayed against me. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. Don't turn me over to them. Deliver me from them. David is praying for God's deliverance. You see, even when God is absent, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Even in the most fearsome situation, the Lord is present with us. Even when he seems absent, he's never really absent. He's with us, always, even to the end of the world. So then when fear strikes, let's pray confidently to the Lord, seeking both his presence and his deliverance. That's when confidence will begin to replace fear. It is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. So there's an end of it, says David Livingston, as he places his finger for the thousandth time on the text on which he has staked his life. Livingston is surrounded by hostile and infuriated tribesmen. During the entirety of his 16 years as a missionary in Africa, he has never before been in such a fearsome situation. Death stares him in the face. And he thinks sadly of his missionary work scarcely begun. And though he has faced danger before, this time, for the first time in his ministry, he is tempted to run away in fear, to seek safety in fleeing. And he bows down his knees in prayer. And he cries, "Leave me not, forsake me not." But let me quote from Livingston's own journal. It'll give us the rest of the story. Quote, January 14, 1856, evening. Felt much turmoil of spirit in the prospect of having all my plans for the welfare of this great region and this teeming population knocked on the head by attack tomorrow. But I read that Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the world." It is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. So there's an end of it. I will not cross furtively tonight as I intended. Should such a man as I flee? Nay, verily, I shall take observations for latitude and longitude tonight, though they may be the last. I feel quite calm now. Thank God. Livingston's journal entry. And the words, "Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the world," are underlined in Livingston's journal. And they are underlined in his heart. Later that same year, he pays his first visit to his Scottish homeland. Honors are everywhere heaped upon him. He's famous. The University of Glasgow confers upon him an honorary Doctor of Laws degree. Well, on such occasion, the recipient of the honor is usually subjected to a little friendly banter at the hands of the students. But when Livingston rises, makes his way to the platform, bearing upon his person the marks of his struggles and sufferings in Africa, he is received in reverential silence. He's gaunt and haggard as a result of the rigors of 19th century Africa. On nearly 30 occasions, he's been laid low by the fevers that steam from the inland swamps. And these severe illnesses have left their mark. His left arm, crushed by a lion, hangs helplessly at his side. A hush falls over the great assembly as he announces his resolve to return to the land for which he has already endured so much. He says to the assembly, "But I return without misgiving and with great gladness. For would you like me to tell you what supported me in all the years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude toward me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this promise of Jesus, 'Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.' On these words I staked everything, and they never failed." So spoke David Livingston. In the midst of fearsome circumstances, there on that evening, January 1856, Livingston bowed down his knees in prayer, and he found deliverance. He sought the presence of God in prayer, and God was with him. And so his impulse to flee in fear was replaced by a determination to stay in confidence. Likewise, when we bow our knees in prayer, seeking the face of the presence of God, seeking the hand of the deliverance of God, then confidence in the promise of God will drive away the fear. For Jesus has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," and on these words we can stake everything, and they will never fail. What fearsome circumstance are you facing today? What are you afraid of right now? Let's take some time to pray. Pray personally about your fearsome circumstance, that situation you're afraid of, that matter that makes you apprehensive, the thing you're nervous about, maybe a person you're afraid of, maybe it's the future into which you cannot see, maybe it's a disease against which you are struggling. What are you afraid of? Bring your fears to the Lord in prayer right now. We're going to do it right now. Bring your fears to the Lord in prayer, just between you and the Lord. Seek His presence. Seek His deliverance. As David did when an army was arrayed against him. As Livingston did when he was faced with the hostility of the people whom he had come to serve. Let's pray right now, privately in our hearts, just for a few moments. I'll close us off. Pray about whatever you're afraid of. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our light, who has promised to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Looking confidently to the Lord, praying confidently to the Lord. If we are to replace fear with confidence, there's yet a third step we need to take. And it's harder than the other two, especially in our frenzied culture. Wait. Let's wait confidently for the Lord. Final two verses of the psalm. I am still what? Confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Switching over to the New American Standard for that last verse. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. What an encouragement. There's encouragement in this short four-line verse. In fact, throughout the Old Testament, the forms of the Hebrew verbs translated be strong and take courage are coupled together as imperatives of encouragement. Be strong, take courage. We find them together to encourage us throughout the Old Testament. As Joshua faces the fearful task of leading Israel to conquer the promised land, the Lord encourages Joshua, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. As a young and inexperienced Solomon faces the daunting task of building the temple, his father David encourages him. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. As King Hezekiah rallies his troops to face an overwhelming Assyrian invasion, he encourages his men, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged because of the king of Assyria and his vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Be strong. Be courageous. And David encourages us through the inspired word that he wrote down for future generations. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Get the heart. Take courage. Now, waiting for the Lord is no passive dawdling. Waiting for the Lord is sitting on the edge of your seat in alert expectation. When are you going to move, Lord? I'm ready when you do. Waiting for the Lord takes strength and courage. Why does waiting for the Lord take strength and courage? Because we want Him to act right now, and that's rarely when He acts. So we need to remain strong and take courage when we endure fearsome circumstances, waiting while those circumstances are still right in front of us. That takes strength. That takes courage. Waiting when those circumstances are right in front of us in confident trust that the Lord will act. The Lord upon whom we wait will act in just the right way, through just the right means, at just the right time. You see, yes, God is concerned about our problems. God is concerned about that situation that's engendering fear in our hearts. But God is even more concerned about our hearts. And so before God does a work in our circumstance, He wants to do a work in our heart. A work of engendering trust and faith and dependence on Him. A work of letting us come to the end of ourselves, for only then will we come to the beginning of God. He's waiting for us to look along the light. For as we look not just at the light, but along the light, we gain a vision of God that gives us the strength and the courage to wait for Him in confidence. So let's wait for the Lord in patient confidence that He is far bigger than whatever threatens us, that He's in control of whatever situation seems out of control, that He forgives us so completely that we have nothing to hide, and that He can guide us safely into that unknown future because He's already there. So it is that by waiting for the Lord, we replace fear of circumstance with confidence in Him, all the while bending our knees in prayer as we look to Him along the light. God's word for us this morning. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, that You never leave us, that You never forsake us, that You are with us always, even to the end of the world. In wherever You call us to be and whatever You call us to do, that You and us are greater than he who is in the world. That no plan of Yours can be thwarted. That no circumstance is beyond Your control. And that You look at every square inch on this earth and say, this belongs to me. And we thank You for that reckless love with which You gave Yourself for us on the cross, pouring Yourself out for us. And Father, You who gave Your own Son for us, will You not also along with Him freely give us all things. And so we wait upon you. We wait upon you for your answer to our prayers for Jerry. We wait upon you to move in that situation that engenders fear in our hearts. We wait upon you, seeking your presence. Our hearts say of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, will we seek. Amen.